Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we're going to welcome in John Ledyard, Audible and Analytics Pod, the Read Option Pod. He joins us now. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Yinzertown and, of course, here in Cleveland. Hey, John, how you doing, bud?
Absolutely. I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. So, what's your read on the Aaron Rodgers meeting with the team today?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like basically it's going to come down to this for Rodgers. Obviously, Tomlin really wants him in Pittsburgh, at least out of the options that are left, for sure. And so it seems like it's going to come down to, would Rodgers like to retire or play in Pittsburgh? Or potentially the other choice, I guess, would be to wait it out and see if something happens closer to camp with a team that's closer to competing for a Super Bowl, a team like Minnesota with a better offense and structure, that kind of stuff. You know, would he be willing to take the risk that something might not open up there as training camp approaches and jump on board with a team like that? So to me, those are really where his options lie. It sounds like he's not going to hurry along any decision, but at some point he was definitely going to come to Pittsburgh to meet with them before making a decision. So probably a formality, but maybe they do enough while he's there just to sway him to go ahead and jump on board with this thing.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about, obviously, the options beyond Rodgers, at least locally for us here as well. And obviously, we've dipped our toes into the draft, and we'll touch on Shador and Cam Ward in a second. But when you look at Rodgers and you compare him out to someone like Russell Wilson that the Browns are interested in, does Russell have anything else left in the tank?
Well, I mean, maybe compared to Rodgers, yes. But I think, you know, it's hard. It's a low bar, but Rodgers might have moved worse than any quarterback in the league other than maybe Cousins. I still think, you know, there's nuance to that movement. But Rodgers, just not only does he not move, he has no interest in even getting hit. So as soon as there's any type of muddiness in the pocket, whereas Cousins would actually take some shots. He didn't have the arm strength, Rodgers says, but he would actually like stand in there, even though it was pretty pathetic by the end, obviously. And the Falcons kind of had another guy they wanted to look at, and that was another reason for Cousins benching. But when you look at the Rodgers situation, the Jets just didn't have anything else going on there, so you know, no reason not to just keep playing him. And so I think that they're probably at similar points in their career in terms of effectiveness. Neither of these guys are leading a team anywhere for sure, but I think that Wilson at least has a little bit of mobility, even though it's not near close to where it was at his peak. And he really throws the deep ball well. And Rodgers did over the second half of the year, too. Threw it a lot better, for sure. But, you know, so I think that maybe is still going for both of them. But I think with Wilson, you're just really limited in terms of the type of offense you run because he really does so few things well. And those few things he does, like, still really well, but there's just so much else that you can't get to because he's not a quarterback that will play in the middle of the field. He's not a quarterback that will, you know, at this point in his career, be able to make a lot of happen in terms of creation, and he likes to create. So, you know, can he just continue to phase that part of his game out because he's not physically capable of it anymore? And, you know, will he play within structure all the time? Whereas Rodgers just wants to run his own structure all the time. And so you really have limitations with both of them. Mobility is a big concern for both, but mobility and I would say fortitude are probably bigger concerns for Rodgers than they are for Wilson at this point.
John, former Steelers tackle Willie Colon was quoted as saying he's concerned about Steelers culture. You've had Najee Harris go to the Chargers and then come out and take what some have perceived as shots at Mike Tomlin, Justin Fields with what people have perceived as a shot at Mike Tomlin. Do you share those concerns that Willie Colon has recently espoused?
Yeah, I mean, I know you're kind of, you know, put what's been out there. I don't think that any of those were shots at Tomlin specifically, if for no other, not that they shouldn't have been, but because I do believe he deserves blame. But I think, you know, if for no other reason than players actually really, really like Tomlin. But Najee Harris, you know, is realistic about this, and he looked at the offense, and he, you know, it was bad. It was bad from a system perspective. Matt Canada is one of the worst offensive coordinator hires that I've ever seen in my years covering the league. Not one other team in the league was interested. Not one other team could even believe they hired him in the first place, let alone keeping him for three seasons. So, that's beyond the pale bad from a head coach perspective. And then to turn around and hire Arthur Smith, who, you know, certainly had a better reputation around the league, at least that part was going for him, but there was a real clear decline since he was separated from Derrick Henry, and there were some real clear concerns with how he calls football and the stuff he likes to do from a scheme perspective versus where the NFL is going. And the Steelers, as has been their want for some time now, continued to ignore that and ignore the direction the league is going. They've done this with analytics, they've done this in their drafting, they've done this in so many ways. And so, yeah, I mean, it's no wonder that players are frustrated. I think, you know, Willie Colon probably wouldn't vocalize it the same way that I am, but, you know, he's sensing it from a culture standpoint. Well, culture stays good for a long time when you find a lot of success in the field and when you have like 5, 6, 7 of the best players in the league on your team. When that changes, you really see like what a culture is made of. Look at the Rams, how they've rebuilt, retooled, and gotten back into competition right away. Look at what the Bucs did, right? They lost Tom Brady, right back in it, right? And continuing to stay division winners, survived years where everybody said they'd be the worst team in the league. That, to me, is culture, and that you continue to keep what you have going and you get back in position to compete. The Steelers have certainly found enough regular season success, but everybody knows they fall off at the end of regular season. As soon as they face real competition, they get crushed. They get into the playoffs and the games aren't even close. So that stuff's not lost on players, and that this isn't actually a competitive team. It's a team really benefiting from the current playoff structure. The fact that the AFC's been down last two seasons, other teams in their division have had tons of injured quarterbacks, you know, 2 years ago. And so all those things are contributing to it. And so, yeah, from the outside, you can go on national media and say good things about the Steelers like people always do. But inside, it's hard to ignore how realistic it is that this team is just so far away from what they talk about being and certainly what they aspire to be.
John, you know this draft class like the back of your hand. What should the Browns do at number two?
Yeah, I mean, I think if so, are we saying Cam Ward's there?
We can do whatever way you think it would go at number one and then go from there.
Okay, sounds good. So if Cam Ward's there, I think you have to really consider it, because I do think he's the best quarterback in the class, and I do think he's the best quarterback in the class in a tier by himself. So that, to me, matters a lot. Do I think he's, you know, can't miss or anything like that? No, but I think that he's really talented and he's got a lot of potential if he can continue to smooth out some of the rough edges to his game. He's a real creator and the tools are really good, and he throws with anticipation on a level that not a lot of college quarterbacks throw at. So I'm a fan there. And with their current situation, they're going to need somebody. They're going to need to try a rookie. And there's so little downside for them, right? They've kind of already made the mistakes in some ways. And so, like, now it's just like, what's the best dart throw? Because that's what they're in. If there's any chance of surviving this thing, it's to make the best dart throw a quarterback. If there's any chance to be good in 3 or 4 years, it's to make a dart throw a quarterback. And if they miss, well, okay, they're going to be bad again next year, and they'll draft high again next year, and they'll try again or in 2 years, you know. So to me, there's really very little pressure at this point because, you know, last year was the pressure season. The season before was the pressure season. Now kind of pressure's off, and it's just this is what it is. And, you know, I don't think the expectations are obviously very low. So I would be thinking strongly about quarterback. And I wouldn't be interested in the other quarterbacks if Ward is off the board at that point. I would be going Abdul Carter. I would be looking at trade back options. Those seem like the best potential moves for the Browns at that point.
John Ledyard, Audibles and Analytics Podcast, the Read Option Podcast on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, looking to the quarterback that you did not mention there, Shador Sanders. What do you think the ceiling and floor is of Shador Sanders?
Yeah, I think that the ceiling probably isn't that high unless you're, to me, the ceiling is Brock Purdy. So I guess the ceiling is high if you're on the best team in the NFL and coaching staff. And I think Purdy's been good. I don't say that to discredit him. But you need that type of infrastructure. You need that type of play caller. You need those components to be what you're the best version of yourself. You know, I think anybody, even the biggest Purdy fans, would probably say even without those things, would he be, you know, what he's been, which is top 15 starting quarterback in the league. So maybe Sanders can get to that level eventually. I think they're pretty similar in a lot of ways as players. They are really smart. They don't have great physical tools. They've kind of got functional athleticism more than explosive, twitchy athleticism. They definitely are creators. They're tough. They both like to play out of structure. They both like to hold the ball. They both probably take too many sacks at times. And Sanders obviously threw very few interceptions in college. Purdy's had his ups and downs with that. But I think a big reason for that with Sanders is that everything, I mean, so much of the offense, by the way, reprehensible, just an absolute atrocity to the game of football that he had to operate in. So he was boosting that thing up with some of his performances. So I give him that. But I just don't think the physical tools are that great. I don't think the creation ability is that special, even though he gravitates toward that, and there will be some flashes because of the volume of time he spends in that mode. But, I mean, I think there's just so many question marks on tape with the sack, how fast he makes decisions. He has an unbelievably relaxed way of playing the position, and at times that serves him well as a playmaker, and at times that is what drags the offense down, because he will max any protection issues that you have. He will make those worse by his ability and propensity to hold the football, and he will see a hit coming and just be like, yeah, I'll take this shot. And whether it's a sack or throwing the ball as he's getting drilled, like, he just kind of has no, there's like no fear trigger in him, which again can be a good thing, but sometimes, you know, your discretion is the better part of valor, and he needs to maybe play a little bit of a different way, I think, if he's going to survive in the NFL. And so there are good aspects of his game for sure, but his arm strength is a real issue on tape. I wasn't expecting it to be. I thought that was probably going to end up being overstated. But when you watch on tape, the ball just dies on him all the time down the field when he's driving it, especially. Most of the time, arm strength is more of a velocity concern than a distance concern. Almost everybody can throw it far. His issue is you really can't drive the ball in any tight windows, and definitely when his base is compromised and his feet aren't right, which is more often than you'd like because of the way he likes to play, which is backing up and throwing off his back foot, the ball just really dips on him a lot. So I just think there's a really middling skill set here, even if I like the makeup of the player, the toughness, the moxie, like some of those things I think are absolutely there. I just think even the peak might need a perfect situation to be good in.
Well, and so if the Browns feel that way as well, and they don't take a quarterback, let's say, until the second round, if you're playing in the Milrow, Shuck, let's even throw Will Howard in there, if you're playing in that area, which quarterback do you like the most, and which one should you say you might want to stay away from and maybe just go for a QB next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because Stefanski's run so many different things now, trying to make this work with Watson, so it's not like it's been just the same stuff. But if he's going to, you know, operate his bread and butter, everybody else is going to need development to some degree. I actually like Jackson Dart maybe a tad more than Sanders. They're in the same tier for me, I think. Dart is just absolutely fearless in the pocket, too. He will take shots. All three of the top guys, you know, Ward, Dart, and Sanders, all will take shots to make plays. Dart just has to do more quarterback stuff from above the neck. That's his, like, Sanders is just way smarter than him, I think. Dart has way better skill set, much better physical tools. He really can throw the ball around, and some of the times when he's airing it out and actually looks like he's operating within the function of the offense, it's pretty smooth. But then when you ask him to be the hero, end of the Florida game, for example, like if you go check that one out, like it's really messy. You know, he throws the ball to the other team a bunch, and you wonder if from the neck up if he can operate in high pressure situations. That's really my biggest concern with him. But schematically, I think he fits and he can make sense. Will Howard could fit and make sense for sure. I think he might be the safest option. Like Dart just might not be able to process fast enough to play. Sanders might just get killed at the NFL level. And Howard, there's probably not much of a ceiling, but if the system's right again, I could see him being a really good fit as well. Like, he really played well down the stretch, and he's one of those guys that in big moments didn't really wilt, I felt like. Now, you know, there was a lot kind of provided for him, but I also felt like he didn't ruin it. So, you know, there's something to be said for that as well.
John, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate your work. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much, man, and enjoy the weekend.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
John Ledyard there, Audibles and Analytics. The podcast also on the Read Option podcast. Great stuff with him. We will react to his thoughts on Shador, on Jackson Dart, on the Steelers situation, on the Browns situation. That's coming up right here on 92 Through the Fan in 5 minutes. See you there. I do have a really strong Marquette contingent.
A lot of Marquette people.
Which I guess it makes sense. Midwest on Midwest. It would make sense that there are a lot of Clevelanders that went to Marquette.
What time are they play? Oh, they play at 7:30. This is the right time to be going in there. You get 7:30 game. You're at the bar right now, hanging out. You'll be nice and toasty. You'll maybe go to the arena around 5:30 or so. It's going to be a great time.
Get ready for it. We just had John Ledyard on. What? I guess I'll just ask you because we didn't have a rejoin. What stood out more to you?
Well, we got an interesting comp for Shador Sanders and Brock Purdy.
Yeah,
I thought that was interesting. You could tell he was just not a fan of anything that that Shador does.
Yeah,
which is okay. That's the beauty of Shador Sanders in many ways, is that for some he is great, and for others he's got a lot of things he's got to work on.
You know me, I've really struggled with Shador because you've made such an impassioned plea that I don't want to be dismissive of you. And I very rarely have ever seen you go this hard in the paint for something.
I go
like
hard
this.
In the paint for a lot of things.
Well, I mean, like, to this degree.
For a lot of things.
Like, you planted your flag on this one, and you've not wavered, unlike certain shows on the station, like the LeBron
that's true.
Of Cleveland Sports Talk.
The flip-floppers.
Who within the same show said four different things. Like, you haven't done that.
Hey, did you hear? They're back to loving Shador today, by the way.
That's good. That's good.
They took a 2-day reprieve, and now they're back to loving Shador and the Shador Sanders show. Nice to see you guys.
Hey, if you hate Shador, don't worry. They'll hate him again on Monday.
That's right. Like the wind.
So I guess my thing is, what he said about Shador really is at the crux. I think Shador's a bit of a paradox because Shador has some skill in anticipatory throws. So initially I didn't see that. Actually, I had a buddy send me a couple clips, so that's a strength in the Stefanski offense. Also, very accurate.
Yeah.
Strength in the Stefanski offense. The problem is, he also holds on to the ball too long.
And that's been one thing a lot of people have gotten on him. But I don't think that's why the draft community doesn't like him, Nick. I really don't. I think there are segments of the draft community that just doesn't like him because he doesn't throw the ball 65 yards down the field.
Well, and I mean, that was something John said, that you get a lot of dying quails down the field. That, you know, for some people, it's a velocity thing, meaning like you don't throw hard enough to be accurate down the field. With Shador, it's just he just doesn't have arm strength. I think that's interesting.
Well, that's why it's one thing that I would wish he would display a little bit more maybe at his pro day, but I also do think people get wrapped up, and this is the point I made with Ken the other day. I think people get wrapped up on the idea thinking that the game is played 50 yards down the field all day long, and it just isn't. Patrick Mahomes had 6 passes of 40 yards or more last year. You know how many Drake May had of 40 yards or more last year?
I say one.
One. You're dead on. Because yeah. You know ball. You yeah. Knew that answer.
Right? People around here are saying I know more football than Ken Carmen.
So much of
who
the game.
Who am I to argue?
So much. A lot of people have come up, by the way, and told me that. I mean, like, just everyone that comes up to me says, you know how much more ball Nick Wilson knows than Ken Carmen.
Yep.
The LeBron James of football.
X's and O's, you know, scouting stuff. But the ins, the outs, the nits, the grits, you know.
I do think the scouting community, the people that judge these type of things, I think they weigh heavily on that component to it, and that's just something that Shador has never been able to dispel at this point in his career.
Now, something we didn't get to with John was the Browns signing of Tevin Jenkins yesterday. And it's been kind of interesting to see because, you know, my first impulse on air was this doesn't feel like a depth move.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Now, if it is a depth move, it's as good of a move as you could possibly make for depth. Because Tevin, I know the health stuff's real. Tevin is a legit, really good starting guard in the NFL and probably should be starting somewhere.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's still a good move, but it then opens up the what are you going to do with, whether it's Wyatt Teller or Joe Bitonio, that opens up a spot for Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested if they just look at their offensive line the past 2 years and just think to themselves, we've been so injured that we just have to have basically starter equivalent as the backups, and it's the only way we're going to survive. I don't hate that plan. I mean, have as many good offensive linemen as you can is not a bad plan, but I'm dying to find out the numbers attached to this.
Yeah.
Do they pay him starter money?
I think that's going to tell people a lot. It also wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if they didn't pay him starter money and he still ended up starting, meaning like sometime in camp that a deal materialized for likely Wyatt Teller. You know me, the idea of trading Wyatt Teller is pretty annoying to me because Wyatt still has a lot of good football. Just pay the man his third contract. But that feels like the likely move unless you think he can bump out to tackle, at which point That could go from a good depth move to being a huge steal if he can do what he didn't do well early in his career in Chicago, which is play tackle.
So that would be the scary part to me if they looked at it and said, this is DeJuan Jones insurance. Because I don't think he can do it at a left tackle in the NFL. I just don't. He was such a good guard. I would be surprised if Tevin Jenkins was even trying to make that move.
So the reason I don't discount it is I think Tevin fits your system here better than he had in Chicago. They kind of bumped around from a few different systems there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a second-round pick that struggled as a tackle. I don't know that it's filling me up with a lot of faith, but listen, at this point, I think we're throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks with the offensive line.
Yeah, and I do wonder, though, like if they were to – I saw people earlier suggesting that this means we're getting Brandon Ayuk because the deal there would be you get rid of Teller and then you get Ayuk and then Jenkins would be the slide-in. a lot of that just doesn't seem to fit the vibes of what they've been doing this offseason.
Yeah, it'd be weird if your quarterbacks are Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Will Howard. And you're like, it's time like, we got Brandon Ayuk.
And Ayuk, by the way, has he's got a $30 million bonus that's coming his way April 1st.
Yeah.
So I think there's some urgency attached to some of these conversations, even if you can't necessarily do a lot with Teller in the current moment. I'm so confused by this Browns team and what they're trying to do this offseason. Are they trying to do more for this year? Are they trying to just not do anything for this year? None of it's adding up.
Well, I think what's important to remember is there's just a lot of innuendo out there. It would totally make sense that the Browns are still in on Brandon Ayuk because they were in all last year up until he re-signed in San Francisco. And I will say, like, not a fan of trading Wyatt Teller. If there were no pick swaps and you could just do Wyatt Teller for Brandon Ayuk,
yeah,
I think that is probably a win-win for the 49ers, and it's a win-win for San Francisco. The key is you'd have to talk Ayuk into pushing his roster bonus into the summer.
Yeah.
Because you just can't trade Wyatt Teller until June 2nd. But that would be the kind of win that I'd be like, I don't really think it adds much wins now, but if you're a quarterback by committee, meaning you can't control the caliber of quarterback you're going to get, well, you can control the pieces around him. And Ayuk and Judy is better than Judy and Tillman.
No question about it. I mean, Ayuk, even after the torn ACL, still has a lot of good football. What happened, people are like, well, then why did the 49ers want to get rid of him? The 49ers, with the trade of Debo and everything else attached to it, they're trying to get as many contracts off the books as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And they paid him a lot of money. And they were very upset with the back and forth that went down. And then the season that transpired after the back and forth where Ayuk held the team hostage. There's just a lot of bad blood between the two. So he's definitely on the table for the Browns.
It's just wild. Like, if you said they'd trade for Brandon Ayuk, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. And I'd be pretty bummed about Wyatt, honestly. I think Wyatt might be one of my probably three favorite players right now.
Yeah.
The dude's just a nasty. I love when offensive linemen play with attitude, and he does that in spades.
The problem there, though, is that I don't know that I can rely on Jenkins in the slightest bit from a health standpoint. We talked about the good pickup, but he is not a very healthy player. And then if it's not him in the back of that, then you'd have to put Zinner into actual games if one of the injuries happened. And then, oh, by the way, we don't know that Joe Bitonio looked like the first half of last year or the second half of last year.
Yeah, I mean, again, so maybe it's because I've chilled on the idea. I really think they're going for my plan, which I said at the beginning of free agents, or at the beginning of the offseason, I said, you don't have enough talent. This year, this needs to be a let's reset the deck.
The poison pill year.
The poison pill year. Take your medicine, and let's see where you are in 2026. So I think that maybe it's that I've accepted that that's where they are, that I don't feel the sense of urgency. I think that's where they are. Two, I'd be happy if they realize that's where they are, because that's the most honest thing I think we've done with them for about 3 years from a we got to try and go win side of things.
It feels like to me the second most likely option.
Of what?
If you're making me rank it out, I think the first likely option is they take a quarterback at number two, either Shador or Cam Ward, and I think the second most likely option is they do just take this poison pill year and then they regroup for next year.
I think it's Cam Ward or Abdul Carter or a trade down. I have no sources on this one. I haven't reached out. I haven't talked to the people on the street. I haven't talked to people at Giant Eagles like some other hosts like to do to get definitive takes out there.
I might actually even be more alarmed if you had talked to people inside the building right now, because they are throwing everything and anything at everyone.
But, like, I really am convinced that they will earn my respect if this year is what Denver was supposed to have last year, which is, hey, we're just going to focus on developing young talent. We'll figure it out later. I should note that I cannot remember the Twitter follower's name. Abdul Carter follows the Browns on Twitter. Should we turn in the card now?
Oh, Abdul Carter is now following the Browns?
Yes, he is.
Why would he follow the Browns?
So maybe he wants to be that number two pick. Maybe sliding into that DMs as we speak.
I got to think about this one. Did he follow any other NFL teams?
I did not see any other NFL team while I was checking that.
Exclusively only following the Browns.
I believe that.
But we could miss something there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a weird follow.
I think it's the right follow.
It's a weird follow.
I think he's warming up to be a Cleveland Brown.
Is that like his age group's way of being like, come hang out?
I'm 99% sure guys from Robert Morris just came in.
Yeah.
Those are some tall Lithuanian looking dudes right there.
Yeah, I mean, those guys definitely just played in the
basketball game. Bosnia. What do you think? Which part of the Eastern Bloc do you think they're from?
I think he still has his jersey on underneath the hoodie right there. Do you see the jersey?
Oh, look at that. That's good.
You can see the jersey.
And we got to ask them if they think that was a win for them today. So
I think that's a win. I think if we can go over there and ask them, I think they'd say, yeah, that was a job well done by us. We were competitive with Alabama down the stretch. That's good for us.
Is the Tevin Jenkins move a sign of bigger moves for your Cleveland Browns? One name down, actually two names down for your Cleveland Guardians. That's coming up with a spring training report in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Diana Rossini tweeting out in the last 20 minutes, Aaron Rodgers has left the Steelers facility. The two sides have yet to come to an agreement at this time. Your reaction, Jonathan Peterlin.
I did wonder if in Aaron Rodgers' incessant desire to always be in the news and be front and center, if maybe he realized people got tired of the news and it started to die down just enough that if he visited Pittsburgh today, we'd be back talking about it. And sure enough, we've been back talking about it.
I mean, he picked the right day. It's been a bit of a slow news day.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Outside of the turn. Like, listen.
From an NFL perspective, yes. There's not been much going on.
Even from an NBA perspective. Like, it's Bronny scoring 17 points last night in the game. If ever there was time for a Friday news dump, but you and I both know, it's highly unlikely Aaron Rodgers will ever allow his signing to be a Friday news dump.
No chance. That is a Monday at noon type signing. That is a, we want you to talk about it all week long. We want you to discuss it all day long, all week long, all into the night. Yeah.
So a little bit of an update here, as Abdul Carter is the only team he does follow on social media or on Twitter is, in fact, your Cleveland Browns. But, plot twist,
yeah.
Shedeur Sanders follows J.W. Johnson. Madness in these social media streets.
It's not insulting to J.W. to suggest that Shedeur is deep into the Browns community if he knows and understands who J.W. Johnson is to use as his only follow within the organization, right?
I met that guy at the Combine. We vibed.
Oh, good dude. Good dude.
Good dude vibes. And Shador's a very smart guy. He's practically the GM of Colorado. If you listen to him,
yeah.
I guarantee you he thought to himself, that's a member of the family.
Is JW actually making all the moves right now?
No, but I don't think it hurts Shedeur Sanders. Okay. That he might be pandering to J.W. Johnson. That's where I'm at.
Now, do the Browns follow Abdul Carter back, though? Do we have that information, Mac? Yeah, Mac didn't look at that side of things. I'm more interested in who the Browns are following now.
I don't think that's just some guy in the social media department. I don't mean that in like a mean way. But like Barry doesn't come down to be like, I need you to follow Abdul Carter ASAP, right?
Well, I mean, if somebody of Abdul Carter's stature does follow you, isn't that in the social media world, isn't that a follow back?
Yeah, but that's... But nobody in that front office knows that whether he does or doesn't follow him.
Like,
right?
Do you have that as well, though? Or if somebody higher than, is it 50,000 followers? Is it 100,000 followers? The moment they follow you, it's an instant follow back just based off of the credibility they bring?
Yeah, I guess if you're like the 21-year-old social media manager for the team.
We got to figure it out.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
But get our people on that.
It is time for the spring training report brought to you by Mr. Hero and Quinn Legal Associates. Stephen Vogt, we got a little sound from Goodyear. The team has trimmed their roster. We're going to play something from Vogt in just a second here. But two names are out of the second base competition as Angel Martinez and one, don't call me a burrito, Brito.
Although you called him a burrito.
I definitely, every time, because it sounds like I'm saying Juan Burrito. Juan Burrito, both option to AAA. I think the Martinez thing is more surprising than the Brito thing, but either one of those guys would have been my first choice to win the job, and now it's going to be Arias, Freeman, and Steeman.
I am surprised that Brito is not the answer, because it just felt like that was where they were heading. And it would have been the perfect guy to – at least I don't know if Bazan is going to be up there later on this year. I have no clue, obviously. They won't tell us that. It just kind of felt like we were trending towards Brito. Schneeman, I'm interested in. Freeman, I'll get on board with. But none of them really inspire a lot of confidence.
This is textbook Guardians. I don't mean this in a bad way. This is – we like both the young guys. Let's give – Schneeman, let's give the three guys who might be closer to not being here in 4 months than they are to being a part of the future, let's give them a chance to do this. I hope Arias hits. If Arias rakes, guys, that's such a game changer.
For sure.
He has such a great swing. He has enough power. Like, that's the kind of guy who, if he ever got it together, could hit 270, you know, 260, 270 with 20, maybe 25 home runs a year, depending on how he fills out.
I just, it's the constant reminder that who the Guardians put out there on opening day is never anywhere close to the team in 3 months later.
That is fair. Now, Stephen Vogt did talk about one player that has stood out in camp, and I think this will be music to all of our ears, because it's catcher Bo Naylor.
If one sticks out, it's Bo Naylor. Bo Naylor has had a wonderful winter, and he's had a phenomenal spring. He is swinging the bat completely in the right direction. And I love the way Bo has gone about his business, being the leader, helping his pitching staff get ready, while also continuing to focus on his development, both behind the plate and at the plate.
So the reality is, if Bo Naylor doesn't work it out this year, the catching position is going to be a net negative offensively.
Yeah.
For an offense that doesn't have a lot of established power, a lot of established hitters, Bo Naylor coming through with a nice, you know, decent average, and the power that he teased as a rookie might be the most ultimate boom or bust impact on the Guardians lineup.
No question. This was, I mean, I'll just be frank about it. Bo Naylor made me look like a jerk last year.
Yep.
I said he should be a top 10 hitting catcher in the sport after slugging nearly 500 the year prior to that. I got really high on drinking the Bo Naylor Kool-Aid just for him to just really just make a lot of really bad plate appearances last year. If he could turn it around. I mean, listen, Nick, the offense in general, I've told you before, I have a big concern as to how they're going to generate runs. I don't know how this offense is currently constructed is going to generate enough runs even to support the pitching staff that the Guardians have put together. And so if Bo Naylor can come alive, and right now you got two guys in this lineup projected with over three wins above replacement, and Kwan and J-Ram, you need someone like Bo Naylor to really have an impact with the bat.
Well, and here's the bottom line. The 1 through 5 is not the problem. Even maybe the 1 through 6 is not the problem with the Guardians lineup. Bo Naylor is one of like two or three guys who either will break camp with a team or who will be up here at some point contributing that can get you production out of your 7 through 9.
I don't know. I get worried about parts of even 1 through 6. Santana right now seems more like a better defensive first baseman than he has ever been offensively. He's 38 years old. He's up there. Manzardo is fine. I'm hoping he takes another step forward, but like there are concerns with the 1 through 6.
Manzardo and Rocchio are two guys who, if they can continue their whatever they did in the postseason, if they can continue that into the regular season, that'd be a significant boost early in the season for your Cleveland Guardians. 216-474-0092. If it's not Bo Naylor, apparently a very good spring from Bo, which Guardians bat has the most boom or bust impact for the Guardians 2025 lineup? And I know this is going to end up just being a matter of semantics. I have said similar things. We're saying the wrong things about the Browns quarterback situation. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.